Luke chapter 11. This morning we looked at the Lord teaching us how to pray, teaching us to pray. And we looked at His own example. The Scripture says here in verse 1 that while He was praying, then we looked at the form of prayer that He taught us, the pattern, in verses 2 through verse 4. I want to begin tonight, this afternoon, and read beginning in verse 5 down through verse 13 to remind you of our text again. And we're going to look tonight, this afternoon, at two things. One, the way the Lord teaches us to pray in His providence. And secondly, He teaches us to pray by giving us His Holy Spirit. So let's read verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now here we see divine providence teaching us to pray. We saw there in verse 2 that our Father in heaven, we have to address Him as our Father, which means we address Him as the one who is higher than we are. He's above us. He's over us. He rules and He overrules. When He's pleased, He not only rules, but He overrules. And I'll give you 2 or 3 examples of how He overrules the wickedness of men and brings it out for good. And this is important when we submit ourselves to Him as our Father in heaven. And it's important when I say He teaches us by His providence. He brings a providence upon us to humble us, to bring us knocking at His door. And He takes that which maybe in and of itself is evil, are embarrassing, and He uses it to bring us knocking at His door. Remember Joseph and how the Lord overruled Joseph's brethren and their wickedness, and He turned it for Joseph's glory and for the good of so many people to save much people alive. You remember the wicked hand of the Jews that crucified the Lord Jesus and how He turned that for our good and Christ's glory, and redeemed many people as it is this day. And the Apostle Paul, we're told that he's one of the best examples. He says himself that he was beaten, he was arrested, he was put in jail. They took him to Rome. On the way there, he had a shipwreck, lost all of his cargo, and lived years in a prison there in Rome. And yet listen, when he was writing to the Philippians, how he says this. The things which have happened to me, and boy, I'm sure he took great delight and comfort in this. The things which has happened to me have turned out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. See how the Lord rules in His providence? Our Father overrules things for our good and for His glory. And the same Father who ruled all of these events that I gave you example of also rules in His providence to teach us to pray. And that's what I see in this little parable here that the Lord Jesus gave us in verses 5 through verse 8. The Lord was using this as an example of prayer. And the first thing I want you to see into this is here was a man that found himself in the providence of God in a condition that was somewhat embarrassing. They didn't have the communication like we have today, and he was sleeping. It was almost midnight, and suddenly, out of nowhere, this friend comes knocking on his door. And he goes to the door and opens it. Oh, what a surprise. You're here to visit us. And he says, yes, and I'm starving to death. And I know you've always told me that you had plenty, so I just sort of surprised you. But he said, I've got to have something to eat before I go to bed. Well, this poor fellow wasn't as well off as he'd always pretended he was. He didn't have a loaf of bread. He didn't have a slice of bread in his cabinet. But he looked at his friend and said, well, come on in. Yes, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'll feed you. You won't have to go to bed hungry. And he realized what a predicament that he was in. So he runs out the back door, runs over to his neighbor's house and starts knocking on the door and says, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. I've got my friend that's come, and I've always told him how well I was doing, but now I don't have any bread to feed him. Not one slice. I don't have anything, he said. He was in a predicament, wasn't he? In an embarrassing predicament. Who brought that to pass? God brought it to pass. Why? That's the same way he does us sometimes, is it not? Sometimes we get cold in prayer. Sometimes we get standoffish about coming to the Lord in prayer. It's not always our reading. It's not even always assembling ourselves together. Where do we usually fail? Is it not in our prayers? And the Father sends out a messenger, and he's so kind, come and commune with me. And sometimes that don't work, does it? We don't listen. Then he sends another messenger sometimes in our midnights. And he sometimes brings us into affliction or he brings us into embarrassing situations. Why? That we may come knocking at his door. What would this man been doing if the friend hadn't have come suddenly? Well, he'd have been sleeping. So this was a good thing, wasn't it? It was inconvenient. It troubled him. It embarrassed him. But it sent him knocking. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes the providence of God in our lives will so arrange it that if we won't come just to commune with Him, we'll come out of trouble, out of necessity, out of our need for help. I want you to turn over to Hosea with me. Hosea chapter 5. Hold our text and turn over to Hosea chapter 5. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 984. Hosea chapter 5. I think this is a good example of what I'm saying. Look at Hosea chapter 5 and look in verse 13. Our Father desires fellowship with His people. He delights in their prayers. And sometimes when we get sort of backward about coming to Him, He sends a messenger and brings us knocking at His door. And sometimes the messenger, he's not a good-looking fella. Sometimes it's affliction. Sometimes it's inconveniences. Sometimes it's an embarrassing situation. But look here what he says to Ephraim in verse 13, Hosea 5:13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not help you nor cure you of your wound. Now look what the Lord, look at the step He's going to take. He's desiring Ephraim to come to Him. And look what He says. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Look, in their affliction, they will seek me early. Isn't that what sometimes God sends to us? One affliction or another? And look here what they said in chapter 6 and verse 1. Here's what they said when this messenger came. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He has smitten, and He will bind us up. Why did they return? Why did they go knocking at His door? Well, afflictions. The Lord tore them and then departed until they come knocking at His door. But when this friend came and he had no bread and he went knocking at his neighbor's door, there was two things in that text that reminds us that it's not always easy just to knock. If it was just knocking and him open immediately, it wouldn't be near as burdensome. But when he knocked, nobody answered. Did you notice that? Finally, the only reason the man came and gave him bread was he kept on knocking. And isn't that one of the things about prayer? Is waiting on the Lord. Very seldom, to be honest with you, in my own experience, have I sought the Lord and He answered me immediately. And we ought to watch for that. My goodness, don't ask Him something and then go off and not watch and see if He hears your prayer. But most of the time, we have to wait. And you know, brothers and sisters, it's not an easy thing to wait, is it? All of us have waited on company, and how many times do we go to the door or to the window while we're waiting on some company to come? Especially if they're a little bit late. We don't like to wait. And it's the same thing in prayer. This guy knocked, and he listened. Nobody stirred. He knocked again. He listened. He hears somebody in there. But they're not coming quick enough. Waiting is hard. So he knocks some more. And finally the guy says, I'm not going to get up. And he knocks some more and he waits. Waiting. I tell you, it's tough, isn't it? Waiting on the Lord is tough. That's why the Scripture says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Why does it take courage? I tell you, waiting is tough. He's a man of faith indeed. And he's a man of good courage indeed, who can knock at our Father's door. And then when He don't answer immediately, just to wait on Him. That's the first thing about knocking and waiting. It's waiting on the Lord. But it's not only waiting. That'd be trying circumstances in itself. But the circumstances he had to wait in. Where was he? He was outside. What was the weather like? We're not told. But can you imagine? It raining, a freezing rain, and here the poor man stands outside, and he's knocking so loud, and he's trying to get him awake. Now the neighbor's lights begin to come on, and somebody hollers, what's going on over there? And he gets somewhat embarrassed about it. Waiting is bad enough, but when you're outside in the weather and you're having to wait, that's a little bit more trying, isn't it? David made the statement, I waited patiently for the Lord. But remember what he said about where he was. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He brought me up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay. Now, it's bad enough to wait, but when you're sinking in a pit and you have to wait, and sometimes that's where the Lord brings us to in His providence, into these pits. And we have to wait, and it's tough because of the situation we find ourselves end. Poor Hannah, there in 1 Samuel 1, she prayed for a child. For years she waited. And it was bad enough for her to have to wait, but the adversary kept on grieving her to death. The Lord's not going to hear you. The Lord's blessed me with children, but He's not going to bless you. He won't hear you. For years, this poor woman endured that until finally the Lord opened the door and gave her a child. But back in our text, what kept this man knocking? What kept him waiting? Why didn't he just give up and go home? You know why he kept knocking? This goes right back to providence. Sometimes the Lord shuts us up and makes us feel our need to such a point that we can't do anything else but wait. He couldn't go home. He had nothing to give his friend. If he went back home, he'd went back home to a man who had an empty stomach. He'd went back home and had to went to bed with a broken heart, wouldn't he? I can't go back home. I've got such a sense of my need. Lord, if you don't answer my need, I can't leave. That's a wonderful place to be in. I love it when you see people. It's not a, I tell you what, it's a rough place to be. When your need is so manifested to your heart and you realize it to the point that you can't do anything else but knock on His door and wait. But you can remember this, when He's brought you there, He'll finally supply your need. And that's another thing that kept this man knocking. Not only a sense of his need, but a sense that he whose door he was knocking on could supply his need. I found this old poem, and I have no idea who wrote it, but I thought it fits our text very well, talking about the Lord satisfying the beggar's need. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry with goodness, and blessed are all of those that wait for Him. And here's what this old poem said. Encouraged by Thy word, a promise to the poor, behold, a beggar, Lord, waits at mercy's door. No hand, no heart, O Lord, but Thine can help or pity needs like mine. I have no right to say that though I am now poor, yet once there was a day when I possessed much more. Thou knowest that from my very birth I've been the poorest wretch on earth. Nor can I dare profess, as some beggars do, though great is my distress, my thoughts have been but few. If Thou shouldst leave my soul to starve, it would be what I well deserve. 'Twere folly to pretend I never begged before, or if Thou now befriend, I'll trouble Thee no more. Though often Thou hast relieved my pain, and often I must come again. Though crumbs are much too good for such a dog as I, no less than children's bread my soul can satisfy. Oh, do not frown and bid me go. I must have all Thou canst bestow. Nor can I willing be Thy bounty to conceal from others who lack me their wants and hunger feel. I'll tell them of Thy mercy store and try to send a thousand more. Thy thoughts, Thou only wise, are thoughts and ways transcend. For as the arched skies above the earth extend, such pleas as mine men would not hear, but God receives a beggar's. He wouldn't have us knocking on His door. He wouldn't humble us in His providence and bring us knocking, asking for a piece of bread, and then give us a stone. He wouldn't put it in our hearts to know and feel our need of a fish and then offer us a scorpion, would He? That's not the way He is. If He's brought us knocking at His door, we can be assured of this. Though He keeps us waiting, to make us maybe feel our need more and to realize His blessings better. He won't keep us waiting forever. Finally, He'll open the door. And brothers and sisters, when He opens that door, no man can shut it. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, teach us to pray. Even though it humbles us in the dust, even though you bring us into some embarrassing situation, by your providence, teach us to seek your face. And then lastly, He teaches us to pray by giving us the Holy Spirit. He says there in verse 13 in our text, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Isn't it strange that He'd put this in here connected with prayer? Because the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, is essential to pray. Who can pray without the Holy Spirit? He's called the Spirit of grace and supplication. And we've got the form. We've got the pattern. But the pattern is just that. It's just a pattern, isn't it? Without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts, the form becomes alive. You ladies know probably what it is to lay out a pattern. You've got these little patterns sometimes you buy at the store and you put it down on your clothes. But what's a pattern? You can't wear a pattern, can you? But boy, when you put it on the clothes and you got it all cut out and put it together, it's beautiful then. And when we've got the form and then the Holy Spirit comes to our hearts, boy, then when we begin our prayer and say, Our Father, it means something, doesn't it? I've told you so many times that I have got on my knees before the Lord or at my table or somewhere, and I have begun my prayer, My Father. And I tell you, I was just suddenly stopped because it dawned upon me. I realized He's my Father. He is indeed my Father. He that's in heaven and rules there and is over all there. He's my Father. Who is it prompted me to know that? It's the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but He says here in verse 5, He says the Father is your friend. He likens the Father to a friend. That's not getting too familiar, is it? Just making us realize, oh, He that's over all is our Father, and He is indeed our friend. I love the way the Apostle Paul said it in Romans 8 and 26. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. I don't know of any place our infirmities are more evident than in prayer. That's why sometimes it's so difficult. He helps our weaknesses. He helps our coldness. He helps our ignorance in prayer. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And how many times do we grow so faint and almost ready to quit praise? Because we feel our imperfection. We feel our sinfulness sometimes. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and He reminds us, it's not about your feelings. And it's certainly not about your merits. You'd think as we got older in most occupations, you get more confident that you know what you're doing. In prayer, it ain't that way. I don't know any more about praying today than I did when the Lord first saved me. But here's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And He reminds us, it's not how you feel that's the grounds of your access to the Father. I love it here when He calls us evil. Ain't that something? You go up to your children. I never call my children that, do you? He knows us, doesn't He?
You mean He would call us evil? He would. He strips us of any merit that we think we have. And He says, this is not the grounds of your being heard. You have access through Jesus Christ, through His merits. And boy, He encourages us to just keep on when we have to wait, when we keep knocking. Don't be discouraged. Don't faint. Just keep on praying. He upholds us in His prayer. David said, Lord, uphold me in Thy ways. And that's why He gives us the Spirit. He helps our infirmities. This is a wonderful thing here to notice. As I said just a minute ago, we grow in the knowledge of God. We know more about Him now than we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We see more of His greatness, don't we? His holiness, His justice, His goodness. We know more of Him now. But this is what amazes us. That God, being who He is our Father. And He's our friend. And that will never get over as long as we live. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Brother Randy, would you dismiss us, please?